Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
How are you?
Doing well.
So what do we have a tax court day today?
We do. We got a tax court day today. So tax court Thursday. Here, I'll let you be the judge on
fine.
This one.
Okay,
all right?
Good.
And the reason for that is because it's a hobby loss case.
Mm-hmm.
So bear in mind, Ben, that we've done several of these.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is that do we have a business or do we have a hobby?
Right. Okay.
And the crux of it is if we have a hobby,
mm-hmm.
then your deductions, your expenses, may not offset any income that's not from that activity.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, that means that you could only have a break-even proposition.
Right.
And any excess expenses are not allowed to be deducted against any other income that you
right.
may have.
You can't take a negative and then and take it off of your other taxes.
Yeah. So no loss, no right. no hobby loss
mm-hmm.
is allowed. If it's a business, though,
yeah.
then you can use the losses to offset other income that you may have.
Okay.
So that's kind of to set the stage here. That's what's at stake for our taxpayer in this particular tax court matter. All right. So we've got Joy Ford, who evidently was a country music singer. I'm a country music fan, but I can't say that I've heard the name Joy Ford before.
It's ringing a bell. I think she was a duet with her husband at one point.
Her husband was Sherman Ford,
yeah.
who was a music producer and a record label owner,
mm-hmm.
In Nashville. And Mr. Ford died in 1999, and they did well enough then where he left property for her in trust that was generating income for her to the tune of around $200,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
he died in 99. She's getting $200,000 off of the trust that he set up for her. They also owned this Bell Cove Club property. It's in Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Yeah. Okay.
Just outside of Nashville.
Right.
And it's
okay.
on a lake. Evidently mm-hmm. it's a very, very nice venue. And so, Miss Ford, you know, had a decision to make when her husband Sherman died. You know, what are we going to do with this club? Are we going to continue to operate it? Or are we going to, you know, sell it? What are we going to do with this? And, you know, she really loved country music and she really loved having singer-songwriters come out and perform.
Mm-hmm.
And so she decided.
But it was on their property.
Correct.
Okay.
It's property they own. So she decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and continue to operate this. We'll have local singer-songwriters come out on Fridays and Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And on Fridays, I'm not going to charge a cover charge. I'll just have concessions available for anyone that wants to come mm-hmm. you know, hear the music. On Saturdays, we'll do a $5 cover charge and we'll also, you know, hopefully make some money off the
right.
concessions. And so the Bell Cove Club property, you know, was generating revenue of around $20,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
just shy of that every year. But the big issue, Ben, is that it historically lost anywhere between $30,000 and $90,000.
No. Okay.
Okay. And, you know, she kind of looked at this over the years, you know, it really wasn't making any money, but she wanted to, maybe she met with some record producers. She met with some TV producers
mm-hmm.
about maybe, you know, filming some of
right.
the singer-songwriters here. Who knows, maybe they'll one day make it big and the footage could be very useful.
Yeah, well, she has neighbors actually that did this, not that far away from her, Joey and Rory.
Oh, that's
did
right.
the same thing on their farm.
Yeah. And she basically also wanted to maybe turn into a restaurant. She thought
mm-hmm.
maybe that might be more of a moneymaker. But she never really did anything with regards to those.
Right.
Never got the TV deal. Never turned the property into a restaurant. And ultimately continued to write the losses off of her taxes. So
mm-hmm.
anywhere between $30,000 and $60,000 were written off of her taxes and losses every year.
Personal taxes.
Correct. Personal
yeah.
taxes. So that really, what it was really doing, Ben, was offsetting that income that she was getting from the trust that was set up by her husband Sherman when he passed.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think here? You know, based upon just these limited facts that we have regarding this Bell Cove Club property, You thinking it's looking more like a business, or you think it's looking more like a hobby?
This is a tough call, because one, obviously she charged admission, at least on part of the time. I didn't say if she hired, but I'm assuming that concerning the losses that she actually hired some musicians to come out and play. She paid some of the artists.
Correct. About around $500 is what she paid artists.
Okay, she paid them.
I don't know if this will make a difference, but usually the concessions kind of equaled out that $500 that
right.
she paid the artist.
Okay, so I'm not sure where all her losses are coming from other than electric bill.
Expenses.
The problem is she's probably not walking and talking like a corporation or a company. She didn't file it. She didn't do a subchapter S. She didn't incorporate it or LLC or set up any of the other kind of things. So it just ended up being, it's like, you know, asking people to pay to help offset the costs when they're coming over for a poker night or a Super Bowl party or whatever. And then it's not enough of a business to qualify as a business.
So business or hobby?
I'm saying it's still a hobby.
Hobby. Ding, ding, ding. Ben, you were correct. The judge in this particular matter said, you know what? And you mentioned some things, and we're going to go through the factors. He didn't actually go through the 9 factors that we have on whether this is a business or whether this is a hobby. He actually just wrote one paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very short decision. And his paragraph was basically, she had no expertise in club ownership, maintained inadequate records, disregarded expert business advice, not getting the restaurant going, mm-hmm. not getting the TV deal going, nonchalantly accepted perpetual losses, no attempt to reduce expenses, increase revenue, or improve the club's overall performance. They did mention that she did devote a lot of time mm-hmm. to Belle Cove Club, but she was motivated primarily by pleasure. That's
right.
That's the killer one.
Yeah.
And simply used the club's losses to offset her trust income mm-hmm. that she had coming in from her late husband. You know, because I mean, it was a pretty good deal. She'd get $200,000, but here she goes. She's writing, you know, $30,000 to $90,000 in losses yeah. every year. I mean, there really was no motivation because she was getting such a big tax benefit mm-hmm. to actually turn this thing into a money-making venture.
Right.
And so, you know, that's how the judge basically broke this down a lot along the same lines that you did, Ben, which is just kind of a general analysis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for our listeners, though, what I wanted to do is
I'll tell you that I mentioned Joey and Rory when they set up their farm, because I've been to their website. They mm-hmm. set it up as an LLC.
Yeah. See, right there. That's step one. And that's, you know, you led me perfectly, Ben, mm-hmm. because I'm going to go through the 9 factors and kind of show how the judge, while he didn't go specifically down the list,
mm-hmm.
he did analyze the factors in just that simple paragraph that I just
right.
read to you. And the first one is, how does the taxpayer carry on the activity? Okay. Are they businesslike? Do they use business bank accounts? Or do they use personal bank
right.
accounts?
Right.
So you're getting into, did they create an entity for this?
Mm-hmm.
She obviously did not.
Kept the money separate or not.
Correct. She was using money from her personal bank accounts, the money that she
right.
got from the trust fund, just to fund these endeavors. So guess what? That's going to be a negative on that particular first factor.
Mm-hmm.
The second factor is taxpayers' expertise. Interestingly enough, you know, the judge specifically mentioned in his paragraph, the taxpayer had no expertise in the management of a club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did she have some background in country music? Yes, she did. But as far as being a club owner, no expertise whatsoever. The taxpayer's time and effort carrying on the activity. Here, she actually got a positive, Ben, because he did say that she devoted an enormous amount of time
mm-hmm.
to the club and wanted the club to be successful. Maybe not money wise, but you know, wanted to bring in good singer songwriters and have a good experience for patrons
right.
that showed up to the club. The fourth one is asset appreciation land. I would think the judge didn't mention this in his opinion, but I would think this probably would be a positive for her because I'm guessing that property just outside of Nashville on a lake is probably going to be going up in value.
Mm.
So I would
mm-hmm.
think that, you know, they could argue that that would be in her favor. Taxpayer's success in other activities, I'd probably say this is a positive. They may delineate between her husband's success, Sherman's success, and her
right.
success, but being a country music singer and the fact that he was able to set up a trust for her that had that amount of income that's coming out of it
mm-hmm.
shows that they were successful in the country music business. And if you can parlay that into this club,
right.
maybe you could have, you know, a step up.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I mean, his name would carry some weight in probably in establishing that.
Exactly. So right now, what I tell you is the factors are fairly balanced, Ben, if you look at them, you know, But here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where she really takes a turn for the worse as far as the factors goes. The next one is the taxpayer's history of income or losses. They analyzed from 2004 all the way up to 2014, and she never made a profit. You know, and I always say, you know, look, if you're doing an activity like this and you can somehow squeak by and make a profit in at least one of the last 3 to 4 years,
then you're walking and talking.
Good idea. Yeah. Because if you can, even if you're just not going to take some of the expenses, you know, you want to act like a business, Ben. You want to show that you've got profit motive.
Mm-hmm.
So that one right there is going to be a huge negative, against her. The relative amounts of profits and losses. This is the profit motive. You know, there was no efforts by her to, she met with people. She thought about maybe trying to do something different. Never really did anything.
Right.
And you know, and
right.
that showed with the bottom line. It just stayed the same pretty much every year. $14,000, $15,000, $16,000 of revenue, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 of expenses. And then the taxpayer's financial status, this also goes against her because she's using money from her trust to fund the business. She doesn't have to worry about whether the business is going to make it for her livelihood.
So that goes to the pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Idea as well.
And that's the last one is recreation or personal matters. And the judge was very clear here. She seemed to like this, that it elevated her status in the country music world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, her primary motivation was not trying to make a buck. It was just having a good time, getting these singer-songwriters involved, and, you know, upping her stature as a old country music performer.
She actually has some other legal history as well. It's that she won an eminent domain case against a building she owned on Music Row.
Oh, wow.
So she actually prevented the taking of that building.
So she wins one on the eminent domain and loses one in the tax court.
There you go. That's Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. That's Life and Taxes. If you want to find out more about caring for your life and taxes, you want to call on the folks at Harvell & Collins at harvellandcollins.com, 726-9050 and 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City, A. Foster at harvellandcollins.com.